Stay tuned and focused, and let Words of Life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Amen. Glory be to God. When you have Daniel chapter number 3, we'll read, we'll parade and peruse the periphery of verse 18 and all the way to verse 30. How about that? Then when we get to verse 30, I want us to read that part in concert. Amen. If you have Daniel chapter 3 and you're looking at verse number 18, I want you to say with me, I have the word and I'm ready to receive it. Amen. Daniel chapter number 3, verse number 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat up the furnace 1 7 times more than it had than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosens and their hats and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. Then he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and kings, and counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Amen. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. 30, let's read together. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Amen. Oh, good news, good news, good news. Amen. What a time here. Amen. What a day it was. Amen. I want to thank God for all of you, the hearers and readers and doers of his word. I want to use for a thought today. I want you to tell your neighbor, I might go through it, but it won't go through me. Mm-hmm. Subtitle, trust God. That's it. The grass wither, the flower fade, and the word of God stands forever. Amen. There's some things that we find ourselves getting into, trials, tribulations, situations, and it seems like when we go through it, it seemed like something just goes through us and it messes us up. You know, you're in a bad relationship and you say, I'll never trust again. You went through something and now it's going through you. And it's taking your life on a turn that you didn't intend on before it happened in your life. You know, those things that seem to be sometimes out of your control. Those things that seem to be something that you didn't expect, but it happened in your life, and all of a sudden now you're not the same person you used to be. Amen. Now that can work two ways. It can be good or bad, but I'm talking in the sense of change you to a person that you didn't intend to be, somebody that you didn't work on, something that you didn't sculpt for your life. Amen. And so here it was, let me give you the backdrop of the story here. It was Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Better yet, their Hebrew name was Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And when they got to Babylon, they changed their name in order to strip them from their identity to be connected to God. Amen. And you know, sometimes people don't want you to have that connection with God because they want to control what happens in your life. Amen. That's why they may not want you to go to church. They may not want you to pray like you've been praying. They may not want you to share a word with them like you've been sharing, because they don't want to have to know how close you are with God. They'd rather know the other side of you. Amen. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in the province of Babylon, and the king was Nebuchadnezzar, and he had a dream. And no one could interpret his dream but Daniel. And Daniel interpreted the dream, and in the dream he saw an image, and he saw this image, and it was golden at the top, and it had bronze, and it had clay, and it had, you know, down at the bottom, the lower parts. And Daniel was explaining to him that, king, what you have saw, the Most High has allowed you to see the kingdoms of this world. He said, you are the head and shoulders, that the golden part of the statue. And so Nebuchadnezzar said, and what about the rest? And he began to tell them there are other kingdoms that arise up after you. So Nebuchadnezzar, and you know how we do when we have a dream, we rebuke whatever it is the dream really mean, and we try to make it mean what we want it to mean. Well, Nebuchadnezzar decided that the dream was not going to be any other kingdoms that rise up after him. He decided that my kingdom will be golden. And what it means to be golden, it means that it'll last forever. It'll be divine. Amen. And so he decided that I'm going to make a statue after the manner of the dream that I had, an image, and everybody's going to worship this image because it's divine. It is golden, and it represents the kingdom of Babylon under my rule, my reign, and it's never going to go anywhere. I don't care what the dream said. Amen. And how many know that you can't fight God? You know, the Bible says there's many things in a man's heart, or devices in a man's heart, but it is God's counsel, his will, that's going to stand. Amen. And so no matter what we intend to do, if it's not the will of God, it will not work for you. Amen. Amen. We have a lot of stuff that we intended to do. I intended to be something else, but God intended something different. And so here I am preaching to you on Sunday morning. Amen. And so we got to understand that. And so here it was, Nebuchadnezzar, he built up this image, and he told them, he said, and whenever a king decrees something, that means it's law. Whenever he says something, then nothing can change that. And if you listen while we read, he said, it ain't but nobody but one, this one God can change the king's decree. Amen. So the king, whenever he would decree something, it became law, and people had to do exactly what the king said, or they would suffer death. Amen. Let me tell you something. You know, we have a king by the name of Jesus. Amen. And we have to do what the king says. And if we don't do what the king says, then we will suffer death. The wages of sin is death. Amen. So, and the gift of God is eternal life. And so we got to understand that whatever the king decrees, we have to obey his commands. All right, and so Nebuchadnezzar decreed. He said, anytime you hear music, anytime you hear the flute, the psalter, any sorts of music, then you stop what you're doing and you start to worship this image. Put that image in your mind. Amen. You know, and I mentioned this before in times past, and you know, anytime we hear music, depends on whatever the music is always tied to an image. Am I right? Y'all looking at me funny. I guess I'm not. But I'm going to say I'm right today. Amen. The reason is because, you can remember that song, that song, that R&B song, that love song, that soul song, that blues song that came out when it came out. And you can remember who you was with when you first heard it. Because the music is tied to a what? Image. Amen. You know where you was, what you was riding in whenever the Isley Brothers dropped that song. You know what I'm saying? Whenever Marvin Gaye dropped that, and the first time you saw the video, you remember that it was on BET, and it was Donnie Simpson that played it. And you know who you were sitting on the couch with. Because it's tied to a what? Image. You know that Keith Sweat song that you listened to? You know exactly who you was on the phone with late at night trying to sing to him? Because it's tied to what? An image. You know who it is. You know what it is. You know, and if it was a bad time and you was going through, you don't want to hear that song because it's tied to the image that you're thinking about that was bad. All right? So Nebuchadnezzar said, when you hear music, remember the image. And that's why, music industry, they determine what image is out there. They determine, I know these young men, they want to make it big, but if you don't conform to the image that they want, you won't make it big. You won't sing that song that on the radio. You won't be able to have your video played on BET or MTV, because you gotta conform to the image. Amen. And so they determine the image of Nebuchadnezzar. It is no different. The world is the same as it was then. Nebuchadnezzar said, when you hear the music, and just remember the image, and I want you to bow down and worship the image. And that is the intent of Satan today. He intends for us to worship the image. Amen. And if you don't watch it, you'll find out in the book of Revelation, it talks about an image, the image of the beast, right? And so images are important. You got to watch your image. Amen. They used to have a commercial that said, image is nothing, but thirst is everything. What you thirsting for? Your thirst should create an image in you. Amen. But when we talk about images and we talk about it, Satan has an image that he wants the world to worship. Amen. And that's why we go after all the stuff that we go after, because materialism is Satan's avenue that he takes us down so that we might worship these images. What image are you talking about? Well, let me just say this, and I'm going to get back to the message, y'all. Can I pause for a minute and say this? Well, Satan, his name, when he was in heaven, his name was Lucifer, right? And Lucifer, the root of Lucifer is the word Hallel. And so Hallel means to celebrate. That's why we say hallelujah. We celebrate God. But Hallel by itself, the way his name was, the root of it means celebrity. All right. So he wants us to worship through the image of celebrities. Stars. Oh, the stars. Remember, a third of the stars went with Satan. Oh, I'm going too far, y'all. I'm going too far. Get out the rabbit hole and come back. So he wants us to worship through stars. The images. Amen. All right, let me get off that. Y'all looking at me strange. That's for Bible study. How about that? So here it is. Nebuchadnezzar made this image, and he said, I want you to worship him. And if you don't worship him, because this image actually represented him. It represented Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar felt like if you don't worship this image, you're disrespecting the king. Amen? So listen here. So when they found out that when they played the music and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided that they wasn't going to bow to it, people today in America, they get mad if you don't put that hand over the heart and pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States. Colin Kaepernick don't even have a job today because he didn't do it. He bowed the knee. He refused. See, when you refuse, you're gonna have some repercussions when the world, if you refuse to do what the world wants you to do. Now, I'm not saying it's good or bad, but he got the world's attention when he did it. And that's what he wanted to do. Amen? Okay, so here it is. Nebuchadnezzar, he said, if you don't bow, I'm going to, got some stuff for you. And then he found out that the same guys that he had been feeding, The same guys that he brought from Israel, which were the smartest of the bunch, that he kept, he educated, and he built them up, and he put them in the kingdom, and he gave them jobs to do, and they had good jobs with good money, good finances, or good benefits, I would say, and they were in his kingdom doing what he appointed them to do, but they wouldn't dance to his music or bow to his image. That goes to show you that we can be in the world and not of the world. We can do the things that the world requires us to do in order to survive for ourselves and our family, but we in our heart have to make sure that our heart is not after the world. God said this, Jesus said, James said, that if we are a friend of the world, then we are enemy to God. And I got an understanding of that. I understand that it's okay to have friends that's in the world, but if you are too afraid to show your Christianity while you're in the world, if you're too afraid to let them know that I'm a Christian and here draws the line, I won't cross it, then that means that you're a friend of the world because you're afraid to let your light shine in the dark world. Man, hallelujah. So he says, if Nebuchadnezzar says to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he says in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he asked them, he said, oh, you ain't afraid to, you know, what's going to happen? And they said, look, king, he said, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. In other words, I'm glad you ask. I'm glad you want to know what's going on in my mind, because I want to share with you what I'm going to do here. And so he says down in verse 17, and he said, if it be so that the God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. They begin to say that, look, even though you're going to put us in the fiery furnace, we don't care. We are glad to suffer for our God. Right? Then they said in verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship your golden image which you set up. He said the God is able to deliver us and will deliver us, but it doesn't matter if he don't, because we still not going to do what you say. Now, that's trusting God, and that's why the series of the things we've been talking about the last few weeks is about trusting God, trusting God's plan. Can we trust God even in heated situations? Can we trust God when our back is against the wall? Can we trust God when things are unfavorable and not going our way? Can we trust God when it seemed like the doctor said no, and we still say, Jesus, I know you can say yes? Oh, come on and say, man. Can we trust God when things seem to be out of our control? Can you trust that God is still in control? I trust that he's in control. There's a whole lot of stuff that's out of our control. We look at the world and we say, boy, the world is out of control. But one thing we got to remember, that is still in God's control. It's still in the book. What he said will happen will happen. I know we don't want to see a lot of perils happen. We don't want to see a lot of tribulation and perilous times come. But the Bible said it will come. And that lets me know that God is still in control. He said in the last days, perilous times will come. There'll be men that'll be heady, high-minded, braggers, boasters, unclean, unholy, unthankful, lovers of themselves more than lovers of God, lovers of pleasures. He said that they'll be disobedient to parents. All of this is happening today, but God is still in control. We got to know it. I trust that God is in control. Oh, anybody feel like Job today? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Oh yeah, I've been sick in my body, but I trust him. My finances is messed up, my money's funny, my change is strange, but I trust him. I don't have what I need just yet, but I trust him. I know God is able to make a way. Amen. So here it is. I didn't even get into it just yet, but I'm trying to get there. So Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says in verse 19 that he was full of fury. That means that he was furious. He was so angry that he could have ripped them apart himself, but he was the king and he couldn't get his hands dirty. He was full of fury, and the form of his visage, it says, changed, verse 19, against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, at first he liked them and now he don't like them. You know how it is when you don't do something that people want you to do. At first, they loved you. Oh, boy, they ate you up. Boy, they loved you. But then when you didn't do what they asked you to do, now they can't stand you. Now they're talking about you. Now they're putting you down. Now they want to try to tell all your little secrets that you did with them. Preach. Oh, yeah. Come on now. You got to understand that's what happens when you don't do what people want and you do what God wants. I wish I had somebody. Oh, just because you didn't help them like they wanted you to help them at the time they wanted you to help them because you really couldn't help them. They thought you were lying. Now they mad with you and they hoping bad things happen. They hoping you can't pay your car. No. They hope you can't pay your house. No. They hoping you lose your job. They cut your hours and they mad with you all because you didn't do what they wanted you to do. What a gem. Jezebel, trying to control you, trying to control your life, trying to manipulate. What a witch. Come on and say amen. Or better yet, if it's a man, what a warlock that's trying to control your life when your life belongs to God. God is in control. The Holy Spirit guides you. I ain't got time for a warlock or a witch to try to tell me how to do what to do when I want to do it. I do it when the Lord say. I do it in Chronos in his time when he gets ready, how he wants it done, when he wants it done. Y'all with me today? My God. Glory to God. So Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm mad now. And he went from loving them to hating them. There's a thin line between love and hate. Just don't do what they say and watch what happens. Just don't obey. Watch what happened. I wish I had somebody. You're getting along perfect right now. You're getting along good right now. But tell them no one time. You've been saying yes, yes, yes. But tell them no one time and see what happens when you tell them no. Or you tell when they telling you they side of the story, you tell them I don't agree with that. You should have did. You tell them that one time and see what they say. See how they act towards you. I knew you were going to say that because you two-faced it anyway. You probably been talking about me to them anyhow. You ain't my friend. I thought you supposed to be my friend. And then, look, won't let you be friends with nobody else because they don't like them. You can't like them either. Y'all hear? We got to learn how to put our finger up and walk out of some people's life. And say, because you can't control me, I refuse to stay right here. You know, and don't get blessed 1 month above January. You got more, you got enough money to last you to February. And you didn't go take them out for drinks. Now they mad with you. Oh, you buying all this stuff but couldn't buy them nothing? My Lord. Fury. He was upset. He was mad. So mad that he commanded that the men would heat up the furnace 7 times hotter. It was already hot enough that you could refine silver in it. It was hot enough that anything you threw in it, it was an inferno. It was so hot that no matter what you put in it, it was going to burn it to ashes. Right. And that wasn't good enough. He said, I wanted to burn them quickly. Yes, sir. So the men bound them because the command was urgent. Look how urgent people move at a man's command. Right. And we are so slothful when God commands. The command was so urgent that the men that took them in knew that the fire probably could burn me up, but I got to do what the king says anyway. And how many of us would actually make that sacrifice? I know what I'm going in might take me out, but I'm doing what God says anyway. Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. Oh, my God. But when I look at this and I understand Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took a stand, but when you stand up for God, God will stand with you. He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you, but I'll be with you even unto the end of the world. And we worry about whether or not God is with us. He may not be with us when we're in a mess, in our own mess that we created. He may not pull you out just yet. Now he won't leave you alone, but he's with us, especially when we are doing the right thing. Amen. Amen. He's not going to be in all that mischief that you're trying to keep up. But he'll be with you if you're trying to do the right thing and you find yourself innocent and before God. Amen. So he says, going on down to verse number 24, Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. They threw him in the midst of the fire. Now you got to understand what they did. They bound him up with chains. They put all their clothes on them because they wanted to make more fuel for the fire. That's what they want. And they decided to throw them on in. It devoured and took out the men that threw them in because it was so hot. And you know, we can't even stand over a barbecue pit. Imagine these men. Come on now. You stand over the pit too long, you through. Send your little hair on your arm, you mad. The messed up your little baby hair on your arm. Just seeing if y'all with me. So 24 says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did not we cast in three men unto the midst of the fire? And they answered and said, yeah, king, you're right, we did. And you know, that was his yes men. They said, yeah, we threw in three. Nebuchadnezzar, now look at this. I want you to notice something. Verse 25, let's read that and then I'll get to it. And he answered and said, lo, after I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and no, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, we'll stop right there. See, we got to understand something. And I know you've been crying because of your bondage. You've been upset because of seem like you can't do anything because it seemed like you're bound and you need deliverance from something. But notice something here. God allowed them to be bound. Right? Not only did he allow them to be bound, but he allowed the ones who bound them to see them bound. Not only did he allow them to be bound and them to see them bound, but he allowed them to see them thrown in the fire. Lord, have mercy here. I'm going somewhere. I want y'all to stay with me. See, it's okay. You need to tell your situation, tell yourself, it's okay if I'm bound. It's okay if I'm going through. It's okay if everybody see the look on my face. It's okay if they see me struggling. It's okay if they see me in my trial. I wish I had somebody. We've been trying to hide the fact that we're going through. It's okay that you're going through. God let them see you go through because he wants to see, let them see you come out. Lord have mercy. Quit trying to hide. I don't want them to see. I'm in Walmart trying to hide. I'm going 2 o'clock in the morning, tipping in there, trying to get and trying to hide because people, I know they've been talking about me. I know my business out there and they saying this and they saying that. So what? Let them say it. Let them see it. But what are they going to say when God snatches you out of the... Lord have mercy. I wish I had somebody in here. Let them see that you're bound, but they'll also see the fact that God is going to loose you from where you are. And so it's okay with me if they see me going through my trial. It's okay with me if they see me thrown in the fiery furnace. It's okay if they bind me up and make me feel like I can't move, but I know one thing, that God will deliver. Yes, he will. God will deliver. Oh my God. The word deliver, that means to snatch out. Let them see me going through. Before you know it, God will snatch me out. Oh, Lord, have mercy. God will snatch me out of that thing so quick. They saw me one moment I was in it. The next moment, God had snatched me out, shook the dust off me, and put me back on display to show them my testimony. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. Don't be ashamed of your trial, because your trial will be your testimony later on. Oh, hallelujah. I got to get through preaching this. Amen. I wanted to shout right there. I wanted to run. I wanted to go ahead and quit. But thank God, amen, for the rest of this word. And so he said, I see four men in there. But see, when he threw you in, you were in one condition. But as he watched you, because he wanted to see you fail, they want to see you fall. They don't want to see you have nothing. They don't want you to get what God has for you. And as they're watching your life, trying to see, you wonder how in the world they know everything about your life. They're watching you. God has put you on display. You wonder why they're looking at what kind of car you drive, where you live. They know exactly where you live. You don't even know where they live, but they know where you live. You know how it goes. And they watch what you're wearing. How in the world they wearing that? I wonder where you get that from. I like that, but I don't like them. Come on and say, man, they like what you got on, but they don't like the person you are. I wish I had somebody. And they put you in there, but then they realize why you're in the furnace, why you're in the place that they thought you ought to die, why you're in the place that they thought you were going to fall to your demise. They see a condition that you were in, and now it's changed. Your condition changes while you're in the furnace. Your condition changes while you, the Bible says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you as though some